What a mess. That's what Eli was thinking as he looked at Hannah. We aren't told exactly how she looked, but she was distraught and probably disheveled. She hadn't been eating or sleeping. At any rate, when Eli sees her lips moving but can't hear any words come out, it's not too big a leap for him to assume that she's a drunk. He's wrong about that, but right about the mess. Hannah's life is a mess. She's childless and feels the pain of that more keenly because of her family situation. Her husband has told her that he loves her, but Hannah can't be content with that. He has again, as he always does, given her more than her fair share of food at the feast. But that arouses the jealousy of his other wife, who has children, and feels that she's being slighted. She takes it out on Hannah. It's a mess. Hannah can't take it anymore and pours her soul out to the Lord in prayer in the tabernacle. This story is often referred to as Hannah's prayer, yet there's nothing remarkable about the prayer itself. This is no magical formula for couples who want a child. This story isn't really about Hannah's prayer, but about God's answer. God reached into the mess of Hannah's life and worked to raise up a man who would speak his word to Israel, the prophet Samuel. God spoke his promise to Hannah through Eli's words, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition that you have made to him." And it was done. Hannah had a son and named him Samuel because, she explained, "I have asked for him from the Lord." Hannah knew that Samuel's birth was about God's faithfulness rather than her prayer. Chapter 2 of 1 Samuel records another one of Hannah's prayers that makes this clear. Here's just a small portion of it. "My heart exults in the Lord. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, but those who were hungry have ceased to hunger. He raises up the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes and inherit a seat of honor." The words of this prayer echo through Scripture, in Psalms by David and others, in the Magnificat, and in Zechariah's Benedictus. What a mess. That describes Herod's kingdom during the reign of Caesar Augustus. Herod is Caesar's client king, ruling over a buffer state of the mighty Roman Empire. Herod's people are oppressed, harassed, overtaxed, and underemployed. Government is corrupt, justice is unequal. The people are impoverished and hopeless. It seems so far removed from the glory days of David and Solomon. Yet this is the time and place for God to work. When the fullness of time had come, Galatians tells us, God sent forth his Son. The announcement of this birth was celebrated with words that, as I just mentioned, echo Hannah's. "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty." In the middle of Herod's mess, it was the time and place for God to send forth his Son, Jesus, to accomplish all that had been promised for the world's salvation. What a mess. Maybe that's what you're thinking about yourself and your situation this morning. You might be sitting there staring at more years of higher education and wondering if you can handle it. Or maybe you've been here a while and you've got the school thing figured out, but you're wondering if you can really do ministry Your wife may not be keen on moving to St. Louis and then moving again and then coming back and then moving again. Maybe your parents wish you had chosen a more fiscally viable career. Maybe you're sitting there just excited. You can't wait to go out on vicarage or an internship. And the time in class seems to go by slowly and yet somehow quickly at the same time. Maybe you just got back from a vicarage and you're sitting there thinking, wow, that really did not go the way I planned. And you might be doubting your own abilities. Or maybe vicarage was great, and you're sitting there and you can't wait to take a call and get out. And yet there's still a certain amount of uncertainty and anxiety surrounding call day. You get the picture. And I haven't even gotten to faculty and staff yet. But trust me, you folks are a mess too. The messes and potential messes are as varied as each one of us, but they have one thing in common for those of us here this morning. God is at work in them. Hannah's story, it would seem, worked out exactly the way she hoped when God intervened. But we know that God's work in our life doesn't always conform to our plans. We might hope for a smooth path on our way to serving God, but often it's the hard road that produces great faith, as the Apostle Paul could tell you. We might pray for absolute certainty in all things, but often it's nagging doubt that confers the ability to understand others and bring Christ to them where they are, as Martin Luther could tell you. Wherever you find yourself this morning, whatever mess you might be in or whatever mess you're dreading, know that God is at work. Messes won't stop God from using your life and your service in his kingdom according to his plans. Jesus has come and is present among us. He's with you right in the thick of it. Amen.